This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
He's also known as Eihei Dogen. Dogen was a 13th century Japanese Zen Buddhist monk. He's a writer, a poet, a philosopher, and the founder of the Soto School of Zen in Japan. He was born in the year 1200 and he died in the year 1253. Originally, he was ordained as a monk in the Tendai school in Kyoto, Japan. He was dissatisfied with its teaching and traveled to China to seek a more authentic Buddhism. He was there for 4 years and eventually trained under Ru Jing, an eminent teacher of Chinese Chan. When Dogen returned to Japan, he began promoting the practice of Zazen, or sitting meditation, through literary works such as Fukan Zazengi, and Bendoa. He eventually left the powerful Tendai school. After several years, he left Kyoto and went to the mountainous countryside, where he founded the monastery Eheiji, which remains the head temple of the Soto school today. Dogen is known for his extensive writings, such as poetry, commentaries, and Shobogenzo, or Treasury of the True Dharma Eye. This is just one translation of it. And in it contains all of, I think, 96 fascicles. It's considered his greatest collection of writings. Dogen's writings are one of the most important sources of study in today's Soto Zen tradition. Now, with that introduction to Dogen, I'd like to talk about the importance of Buddha's robe. Currently, I am an apprentice, a sewing apprentice, and my teacher is Judith Putnam, who is a sewing teacher who lives in Colorado. One of the reasons why I'm giving this talk today is because I recently attended an online Dharma intensive study given by Shahaku Okamura Roshi. The topic was Dogen's fascicle on Keisakudoku, which was written in the year 1240. Keisakudoku has different translations: the power of the robe, the merit of the kasaya, the virtue of the yokesa. So, many of you, this is your first time here, and you probably missed the first sit. So, after the first sit, when you come into a Zen center, and you do, there's usually two sits. After the first sit, before getting up to do Kinhin, which is walking meditation, you place your rakusu or your okesa on top of your head, and you put your hands in gassho and recite the robe chant. There are different versions of the robe chant depending on which Zen temple you are in. The version that Jikoji uses is this: Dai Sai Ge Da Bu Ku Mu
so fugu dene. Kodo sho shu jo. Great robe of liberation, field far beyond form and emptiness, wearing the Tathagata's teaching, freeing all beings, Dai Sai Ge Da Bhukku, Muso.
And after reciting the robe chant, you put on your rakusu or your okesa. Now, in the kesa kodoku, which is, you know, the fascicle that I'm focusing on today, Dogen Zenji wrote, "Above all else, you should know that the kasaya is what all Buddhas venerate and take refuge in. It is the Buddha's body and Buddha's mind. It is called, there are nine names. It is called the robe of liberation. It is called the robe of the field of blessing. It is called the robe of no form. It is called the unsurpassable robe. It is called the robe of patience. It is called the robe of the Tathagata. It is called the robe of great loving kindness and great compassion. It is called the robe of the victory banner. And it is called the robe of Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. In this way, we should truly receive and maintain the robe and reverently place it atop our heads. Because this is so, we should not change standards, the material, color, and measurements of the kasaya according to our preferences. We should make the kasaya according to the method of making the kasaya which has been authentically transmitted by Buddha's and ancestors." So, let's say that you sincerely desire or want to dedicate your life to this wholehearted practice. You need to ask your Zen teacher if you may sew a rakusu. Or your teacher may ask you or tell you, please sew a rakusu. One reason why a teacher may ask you to sew a rakusu is because your teacher may recognize your dedication and commitment to this practice. Then your teacher will tell you where to go to get information on or send you to a sewing teacher. So depending on your skill in hand sewing, or maybe you've never sewn a stitch in your life, it may take some time for you to sew your first rakusu. So this is my rakusu. So when you sew your first rakusu, The color of it is dark blue. After and your teacher will write on the back of it. Your teacher will think of a Japanese name to give you based on how she sees you, and give you a Japanese name. And then there will also be on the back of this rakusu either a poem or a saying that is your essence, that offers the essence of you, or an important teaching. Then there's a ceremony called Jukai, where you then receive your rakusu from your teacher, where you commit to staying on the path in this ceremony. Now, some Zen practitioners only take this step and wear this rakusu for the rest of their life when they're in the Zendo or at Sesshin. Some people may want to become a monk or a priest and be ordained. In that case, you would then again ask your teacher if you may become a priest or a monk. Or your teacher may offer, would you like to become a priest or a monk? It's up to you. If your teacher says yes after you ask, then you would begin sewing another rakusu, a large okesa, which is a big robe, and for a priest or a monk, the color of this robe is now black. The rakusu would be black, your okesa would be black. The okesa, otherwise known as Buddha's robe, is a large rectangular garment that is wrapped around your body. You tie it here, you flip it over your left shoulder, leaving your right shoulder bare. Of course, you're going to be wearing other garments underneath. If you are then asked to be a teacher or you desire to become a teacher, you would then ask your Dharma teacher if that is okay, or they may say, you know, it's time for you to become a teacher. In that case, then you would sew another rakusu, another okesa, a zagu, which is a bowing mat, and the color of this set of robes is brown. Okamura Roshi says, one cannot make an okesa based on preference. Purity of mind is most important. In other words, we need faith. Have faith, accept, and do it. Okesa and Zazen practice need to be together. We also need faith about this teaching. So there is a story about how Buddha and his disciple Ananda made the okesa, and I'll share this story. There was a king named King Bimbisara, and he was a patron and a lay student of Shakyamuni Buddha. One day, King Bimbisara was sitting on a palanquin on top of an elephant. He left his palace and was going to visit Shakyamuni Buddha. On his way there, he thought he saw a Buddhist monk. The king got down from the elephant and bowed all the way to the dusty ground. Then he approached the monk to ask for a teaching. And, to his horror, it wasn't a Buddhist monk. King Bimbisara felt ashamed. In another version of this story, he became mad, and he stormed over to the Buddha, and he said, "Lord?" The Buddha said, "Yes." And the king said, "Your followers don't have any recognizable way for me to recognize them. So I'm just bowing to anybody. Would you please do something about this and give your disciples clothing by which I could recognize them?" And the Buddha said, "Yes." A few weeks later, Shakyamuni, Buddha, and Ananda were walking toward a town called Nagada. As they were walking, they saw a rice field laid out in the streets, lines, embankments, and squares. Buddha said to Ananda, "Do you see the field of Nagada?" Ananda said, "Yes." Buddha asked, "Would you be able to design a piece of clothing that has this pattern, that has fields and paths?" Ananda again said, "Yes." Ananda designed, the robe and brought this design to the Buddha, and the Buddha said, "Okay, this is the robe." And Ananda sewed it. So Dogen wrote that there are 10 types of fabric that were used to make an okesa, called funzoe, or discarded rags. The 10 types of discarded rags are cloth chewed by oxen, cloth chewed by rats, cloth burned in a fire, cloth soiled by menstruation, cloth soiled by childbirth, cloth used as an offering at a shrine, cloth from a cemetery, cloth used as a votive offering, cloth discarded by king's officers, and cloth used as a shroud brought back from a cemetery. These types of cloths were cleaned, dyed, and sewn together to make an okesa, or Buddha's robe. In other words, there is no value to the cloth. Therefore, no attachment, no defilement. Therefore, it is pure. In making a robe or raksu today, we buy the fabric as a long piece of material. But we cut it up, and then we sew it back together. When we sew each stitch, we chant Namu Kie Butsu, or I take refuge in Buddha. Namu means homage. Ki means to plunge in. E means to rely on. In other words, Namu Kie Butsu is to be at one with the Buddha. Another chant to do while sewing is Namu Kie Butsu, Namu Kie Ho, Namu Kie So. Namu Kie Butsu, I take refuge in Buddha. Namu Kie Ho, I take refuge in the Dharma. Namu Kie So, I take refuge in the Sangha. Taitaku Pat Phelan said, "Doing this chanting brings the refuges to the breath and the breath to the sewing. Sewing itself is a meditation practice which unifies body, breath, and mind. Through we embody the refuges. We bring Buddha's teaching into our bodies. I think this is the first initiation. Suzuki Roshi said, "Be concentrated on every stitch, as you are concentrated on your breathing." Concentration, we say, but that is not actually the point. Real point is to become one with what you do, to become one with your practice. You should try to be concentrated on each stitch, and someday you will understand what does it mean. If you understand how to practice Zazen and how to make Okesa, how to wear Okesa, then you may find out the similarity. Not only similarity, but also it is the expression. Two ways of expression of our Buddha nature. And finally, Dogen Zenji says, "When a kesa is worn, it becomes like an amulet of enlightenment, and we should honestly receive it as such. It is said that you believe a single verse or a single phrase about a kesa, the merit of the kesa will be transformed into a brilliant light of the eternal Buddhist way." And that's my talk for today. So now we have some time to talk about, to ask questions, or if you have any comments. Yes.
Where I learned the verse of the Kesa, we learned a different one.
But yes.
It's taken from the nine ones you pointed out in Dogen.
Mm-hmm.
Vast is the road of liberation, a formless field of benefaction, which is a line I really love. A formless field of benefaction.
Yes.
And one other quote about a road is from Layman Ping, somebody I admire. I being a layman and not a monk. And it goes like this. "I wear the robe of emptiness, crystalline and shining brilliantly shining. That's my comment."
Thank you so much, Donna. Yes, there are different versions of the rope chant, and depending on who's translating it, and who the founder or the teacher is, that's where you can just learn the different rope chants. Yes.
Why is the symbolic significance to a rope?
The significance of the rope, this is the Dharma. It is considered the Dharma. So when you wear it, it's a way to for people to recognize you as a Zen practitioner. And also, it's kind of a, it's sewing the robe is like a deep practice where, you do this chant over and over. With each stitch, you're doing this chant. And it's like you're sewing yourself into this robe. I mean, this is a small version robe, the okesa, but you know, and Donin's wearing a black one. He's been ordained. So, yeah, it's a very special garment, and it means that you are on the path of you know, you practice in the middle way, the path of Zen. Thank you. Yes.
Is there a significance to the colors, the blue, black, brown?
Yes. So when you're first deciding to become you know, a part of this tradition, and you sincerely want to practice it this way, it's dark blue. When you decide, so priests that are ordained in this tradition, they sew black. It's a black robe. And then if you're a teacher, then you sew brown. So it's really, each step is a step down, as my teacher would say. So when you, it's like, so basically, when you're a teacher, it's like the earth, it's like dirt, and that's why it's brown, because it's always a step down, and you're there to you know, to really be there for whoever needs your help. And to give the teaching the way, you know, you understand it from the Buddha. And so that's the significance of the colors. Another thing I will add is that this tradition of sewing Raksu's these robes, as I've said, you know, you buy yards of fabric, and then you have to cut them up. There's a particular way that you do it with different measurements, and then on the back there's a piece of silk. And then your teacher will write on it, on the back. So this one I've had this robe, this Raksu, since September 21st, 2018, when I received Jukai. And I'm currently sewing a black robe. And so I am currently working on that robe, and it's a big endeavor to put so many little tiny stitches in a robe. So basically, in 1 inch, there's 7 stitches, 6, 7, 8 stitches in each inch. So it's really a One of my Dharma friends said he counted how many stitches he has in his okesa, his black okesa. He said there were over 15,000 stitches. That's a lot of stitches. So, yes.
Okay. As we said, for Zen is to be clear in mind, to be pure, to be empty. But when we're pursuing this path down the road, well, sometimes the point you feel yourself are being pursuing the form of declosing the robes. And how do we process that?
Can you ask your question again?
I'm sorry. Yeah. So we're pursuing Zen. We're doing empties. We're trying to get out of the form to
mm-hmm.
be pure.
Mm-hmm.
When we're trying, we're doing down a downline pass. We're still soaking our own forms,
mm-hmm.
like those ropes and all those things.
Right.
Isn't that a kind of a contradiction?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, Dogen says this is really there's virtue in sewing the rope. There's merit in sewing the robe. And so, you know, I have the same Dharma friend who counted his over 15,000 stitches in his okesa. He wore, when he ordained as a priest or a monk, he wore his black rakusu for a year in public. Yeah. I might do that. I don't know. We'll see.
Naked.
No, not naked.
It's a California version.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, no, it's not a contradiction. I mean, it's, you know, wearing the robe is something that is you know, it's a precious thing, you know. So when we fold it up and we put it in our envelope, you put it on your altar at home, or you put it in a high place because it's to be revered. You know, this is considered the Dharma. So it's just something that, you know, and he mentions it here in these fascicles. There's two fascicles that Dogen wrote about the okesa. One is called Kesaka Doku, and then he wrote another one called Dene. Okay, so, but he does say, you know, how to wash them, how to revere them, how to keep them, you know, basically keep them clean, and put them in a high place or on your altar. So it's really a precious thing. Yes. Koyang.
Thank you for your talk.
You're welcome.
I was wondering. I think someone mentioned that the sewing tradition is lost in Japan, or like the Japanese schools doesn't do it anymore, and like our teaching or our lineage is continuing that tradition.
Yes.
Will you say more to that?
Yes. So in Japan, it's very interesting in Japan because The tradition, it's pretty much lost in Japan. So if you practice in Japan, they want you to buy a rakusu or an okesa. So it's not like you're going to sew it. You buy it. So they have large factories where people are making these. But here in the United States, the tradition is to actually sew it yourself. You know, we don't have factories here that make these. You know, besides which, it's expensive. Right? So if we can just buy the fabric, buy the thread, needles, you know, all the things to sew it together, then you can make it yourself. Of course, you need a sewing teacher, and you need to know how to do it. And there, you know, there's a particular ways. There's actually, I think think, two different... the Suzuki Roshi way, which is this way that we sew, and there's a Katagiri style where the stitches are a little bit different and the construction of it is a little bit different. So there's two styles of which I'm learning as an apprentice, a sewing apprentice, and it just depends on what tradition that you are involved with. So we're, Koben is in the Suzuki Roshi. Koben has his own lineage, which is in the Suzuki Roshi Suzuki style. So this is the Suzuki style. So, yes.
Isn't the very practice of intentionally going through that process sewing, because it's like meditative, because you're in the moment.
Yes.
Similar to the mandala, that, you know, when you look at the lamas, you know, very painstakingly you're like 100% present.
Yes.
Build this beautiful thing, again, just to kind of wipe it off.
Right.
But the practice itself of
yes.
being isn't the same thing?
It is.
Similar?
It's very similar. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I was just going to say, an expression comes to mind because we have a silk screen. It says, "One who hears the cries of the world and comes." And it feels like that's what the practice is, to be able to come when you see the need of someone suffering and you're there for it. And you're not there for it if your mind is in the future, the past, or doing something else. So this practice of sewing is like you're focusing on being present for each stitch, and you can visually see and experience when your mind went over here and then your stitch is like that, you know, or doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a feedback loop. At least it was for me. This is my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, like doing zazen, if you're following your breath, you notice when your mind goes somewhere else, and you try to pull it back so that you can be fully in the present for each stitch or each breath. That, for me, that's what the practice is about.
Yes. It's like you said, it's being in the present. You're not thinking about the future, you're not thinking about the past. When you're sewing, you have to sew a particular way. And so you have to really pay attention to what you're doing, because if you start thinking about something else or you get too tired, you have to stop. Or you have to refocus yourself. To be in present in the moment, just like zazen, being present in the moment. Yes.
So you mentioned Iwatsu is a dharma. So what is a dharma?
A dharma is. Basically, it's Buddhist teaching. It's teaching. So what this is doing is it's teaching you to be present. You know, and that's one definition of dharma. But dharma is really truth. It's what the Buddha taught. That's dharma. And Dogen brought it to us. Dogen, as the founder of Soto Zen, he brought it to Japan from China, and then he spread it all over the world centuries ago. And we still practice it today. So, That's Dharma. Todd.
Uh-oh. So nice to hear your voice. It seems softer. Mm. And I wanted either to congratulate you or my condolences, one or the other. So, as happens, a lot of thoughts come from other people when they speak. And I'm so happy to be here with you and Jiro and others who know me. That's another. But so there's a authenticity.
Yes.
So this one of in history I've heard historically a lot of leaders don't want to be leaders, and they become some of the best leaders. That's one thing that came to me. The other thing is, so we could sit there for a second. So to become a leader, a teacher, authentically. For me here, Jiro embodies that. And you said maybe a year ago or so, there are masters here who wear robes and there are some that don't. So that, I recall infrequently. So thank you for that. So that authenticity is, I think, inescapable. No matter how beautiful you might look, I'm on the job site. We wear carpenter's bags. You can almost tell who the guy is by how he's wearing or what he has on his carpenter's bag. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Right? And the hammer, boy, that's like, mm-hmm. it's like a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from what they're doing. So I do think that is almost impossible to not be authentic. Very hard. So then, first, so is it a costume or a uniform? That was told to me by my art teacher long ago. Is it a costume or a uniform? But this also is posed by prose, which is notorious for juxtaposition,
mm-hmm.
and does not allow for, it's a dualistic, actually, I'm learning. So it is a rhetorical question,
mm-hmm.
as I tend to ask or try to ask. So in this same pool of thinking, what is the significance of being recognized by others as a Buddhist?
Mm.
And that could be rhetorical also.
That's a good question. I mean, there are people who sincerely practice, like Jiro. He lives here. And he does not have a robe. He doesn't have a rakusu. I think it's because he's a Taoist. Am I right? Yes. I'm right.
I might add he's more than this.
He's absolutely more than this. So, you know, somebody could sincerely practice for years and years and never sew one of these. but they sincerely practice. So I don't know that it's truly necessary, but if you really, really want to be seen, maybe, I don't know if that's the right thing. What do you think, Kat?
I think it has a lot to do with your relationship with your teacher.
Right.
And you wouldn't do this, decide to do this on your own.
No.
And so it's that
Kensho,
a Buddha,
yeah,
recognizing a Buddha,
right,
experience, I think.
Yeah.
So out of that, and out of your name, you're given a name, so that's like a meditation in itself, because you can, it's kind of like a koan or a question. What does my name mean, and how do I practice with that name in the world?
Right. Yeah. So, like I said in meditation, beginning meditation this morning, practice Zazen, find a teacher, and sit with people. Or you can just find a place, like this one. Find this place. Sit here with us. And then see what happens. You can go to other Zen centers, and you may not connect with a teacher that's here, but you may connect with another teacher that's somewhere else, in another Zen center. And that's fine. No problem. Go for it. But I think it's a, you know, very sincere practice. And yeah, a lot of it has to do with, you know, your teacher and the recognition of, you know, the sincerity and dedication and commitment that you have to the practice. So what time is it?
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.